Maybe we can get some insight here from Barry. Dogs by nature, SB Nation, Cleveland Browns writer. He lives in Pensacola and is kind enough to make time for us. Barry, you can give me that answer to that question, but I'm not going to call you a liar, but none of us today have any clue who the best team in the AFC North is.
Hey, that's absolutely true. Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely, buddy. Oh, yeah, I mean, look at it. This week, you got the Bengals coming in, and I know that, you know, they're sort of an up-and-down team, and they're still young. There's not, you know, a lot of people, like, for instance, with Arizona, they might say, hey, they're looking good, and they won without Kyler. But I honestly think if anybody said, we've got Arizona versus either Tampa or Green Bay in a big pivotal matchup right now to get to the Super Bowl, you would have a hard time finding anybody that would be able to have the rocks to go in there and say, no, I like Arizona to beat Tom Brady. And you'd be like, I don't know. This year, there's a lot of unproven young guys out there for teams like Cincinnati and some of the ones, even Baltimore. Lamar has never proven it in the postseason. Baker, he's only been there once, and he's sort of an up-and-down emotional guy. And then you can't disregard Pittsburgh, who slowly but surely only has three losses and is going about their business. Barry, I've never honestly seen a conference, and I know that sounds cliche to say in my lifetime, but I've never seen a conference more wide open this late into the season. But all four teams legitimately could win it and legitimately do some damage if they get to the playoffs.
Absolutely. In fact, in that division, Pittsburgh's won four straight games.
Yeah, and people counted it out, and they wanted Big Ben benched 4 weeks ago.
Yep. So they're right back in it at 5-3. I really think the Ravens are the best team. In fact, I think they are a Super Bowl team. But, you know, you just don't know. If you can figure out how to keep Lamar Jackson in the pocket and not let him escape, because that's where he grinds on teams, is he escapes. He gets those big 17-yard pickups, 27-yard pickups. Now, he's decent with his arm, but when you get him outside the pocket and he doesn't have anywhere to run, that's really the only way to contain the Ravens. And then the Bengals – the Bengals were setting the league on fire at 5-2. Then they lost to the Jets. Then they lost to the Browns in a game that they could have been up 14-0 and instead weren't. And then they just were turnover crazy. So it's a crazy division.
Barry, when you look right now, and this is the week we play you all, so I usually would say good luck. I actually like the Browns. I know, you know, I was on with Josh and the guys for the podcast, and I respect that out of all you guys, because without people like you that are insiders on those teams, Drew and I and our job would be a lot harder, because people in radio and TV, we use people like you, because some people think we can morph and be at the San Jose Sharks game right now and also be covering the World Cup when it comes around. But no, we have to use the media and the people that write as insiders and carry those teams to get that knowledge. And if you guys are wrong sometimes, you know, we'll read it. Like Adam Sandler didn't die in the Alps apparently last week. But when it comes down to it, Barry, if you look at Cleveland, what is their biggest strength right now and their biggest weakness? Because this was a team that spent a lot of money on the offseason, and they're at 5-4. And to beat Cincinnati by 25 points, I don't care who you are, shows that you're capable of putting together a huge performance.
Well, their biggest strength is a running game. For the third week in a row, they are number one in the NFL in rushing. Now, you add the fact that Derrick Henry is no longer rushing for Tennessee, because they were 1-2 throughout the season. But this team is built to run the ball. All five of their offensive linemen, they've got two that have gone to the Pro Bowl. They could have three go to the Pro Bowl this year. They just extended both guards, right guard Wyatt Teller, left guard Joel Bitonio, they extended them to 2025. But all five are very good run blockers. Jerick Wills Jr., used to be right tackle from Alabama, he was drafted as a run blocker and not for his pass blocking skills. You got Nick Chubb, you got Kareem Hunt, then you got D'Ernest Johnson, that May could start for a lot of teams like Miami that doesn't have that starting back, and they're just made to grind. All of their tight ends are excellent blockers. All of their wide receivers are taught how to block downfield, and that's their biggest strength. Now, their biggest weakness, you know, before the season started, I would have said the wide receiver group was going to be one of the best units on this team, but the whole thing is just falling apart. Jarvis Landry has gotten hurt. Donovan Peoples-Jones, who sit out a couple of games. And then Odell Beckham Jr. kind of comes into the forefront.
I mean, you know, and obviously that's the big storyline, I guess, if you will, is Odell, as it tends to be. With the Browns, the expectations this year, I think, of a lot of people were for them to – the expectations would be conference championship games, Super Bowl. Those are the aspirations. I mean, obviously, if you look at the AFC, the Bills just lost to Jacksonville. The Bengals looked really good, but now they haven't. I'm with you, Barry, on I think the Ravens are the best team in that division. But, I mean, it seems like the AFC is relatively wide open for a team like the Browns to try to come back and make their way back into form by the time the postseason comes around. Is that too much of an odd opinion, or do you think that actually is a possibility where the Browns could try to figure things out and regroup and then make a run at things at the conference title game, for example?
Well, if you look at the AFC at the beginning of the season, raise your hand, anybody that would pick the Kansas City Chiefs to be third in their division.
We are both. I know the show is televised on TV, but we are not raising hands right now. So yeah,
yeah, absolutely. So there you have it, right there. And you're right. Jacksonville beating teams. The Bills losing, not going for the field goal, and losing a game to several weeks ago to the Tennessee Titans. It's just crazy. Right now, the Tennessee Titans lead that conference, and it's just – and that's without Derrick Henry being on their roster. Who knows? Justin Herbert, who played in the Senior Bowl 2 years ago, he's lighting it up in Los Angeles. That is a tough, tough division. But I believe that the Ravens, the Bills, the Titans, the Chargers, and the Chiefs, those are the teams that, when it's all said and done, those are going to be the AFC royalty coming in. But if the Chiefs don't find out what their offensive struggles are, they're going to be on the outside looking in very quickly.
Speaking with Barry Shuck of DogsByNature.com, he does great articles on the Cleveland Browns and really covering all the teams. You had your midseason reports when it came down to the report card that just came out. Able to write it. Did you do that? Okay, last night you finished that, correct?
It came out today.
Okay, that's what I was saying. I was looking here because I always get thrown off because I am the guy, Barry, that doesn't sleep, and it always says on my phone, and it throws me off. I'm like, I know it's Tuesday today, and it's Wednesday, and then my phone's like, yeah, you moron, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. It's the next day, but I just saw that it was like November 10th. He's writing this right now. But looking at it, when I'm reading it through the article, and I read your stuff not just because you're on today, but you do a great job, and I hope everybody out there
can go
and support it, dogsbynature.com.
Absolutely.
And Barry Shuck covering it. He lives right here in Pensacola, too, having the opportunity. So that's really awesome that we have that. For a national writer. But looking at some of the teams, Barry, and the guys, you know, your report card shows that this is a team, they picked up a ton of players. They did. They spent a lot of money, and so did the Patriots this season by bringing in a lot of guys like Judon from over in Baltimore. That's been huge. But if you look at it, who to you has been the best pickup overall, either in the draft or picking up in free agency, that's made the biggest impact on this team?
I would say linebacker Anthony Walker from the Indianapolis Colts. He started the season very slowly, but each game he has just progressed. Now, he's a born leader, but he hasn't missed any games due to injuries. Last game he had 13 tackles against the Bengals. 11 were solo tackles. He had an interception that was taken away from him. The Browns play a lot of 4-2-5, and a lot of people assume that teams – play either a 3-4 or 4-3. But the way the league has evolved into a passing game, teams have gotten away from two things, the fullback and three linebacker sets. So what the Browns do is sometimes that second linebacker is not an actual linebacker, it's a safety. And in our case, it would be Ronnie Harrison that we got from Jacksonville last year, who's a good hitter. And he's good at dropping back because the linebackers are here to cover in the passing game, the tight end, and the running back. And you need guys that are not only fast, but guys that are good in open field tackles. And so the Browns play a lot of 4-2-5, so they have five DBs. Now, that could be a collection of three cornerbacks and two safeties, or three safeties and two cornerbacks. So if you're playing one of your linebackers as a safety, you could actually have six DBs on the field at any time. As far as the biggest disappointment on the team, you have to look at Odell Beckham Jr. He just kind of whined and cried and said, I'm not getting the ball. He had one reception against Pittsburgh, which I was at that game. And when the offense finishes, instead of trotting off the field, he would casually walk, and he wouldn't get with the offense. He would stand by the special teams guys. Now, usually the kicker, the punter, and the long snapper are just kind of somewhere on the sideline. He'd go and stand with them and then mosey on back to the offense. So he was already kind of in a foul mood, it seems, that game. Maybe he was just frustrated he wouldn't get in the ball. He only had four targets, one catch for 6 yards. The week before against Denver, he had two catches for 20 yards. Now, NFL players get paid every 2 weeks. He makes $1.658 million every paycheck for two games. Now, he caught three balls in two games. That means he made $552 and $632 per catch for two games. Now that he's gone, where do you apply for his job?
That's what, right. What I was going to ask is, if for $556, would we even say for over $500,000, even with like the Jermaine Kearse catch in the Super Bowl or the Julio Jones or even the David Tyree catch, mm-hmm. if we sat a panel of people and said, is that catch worth paying somebody $500,000, even though it's one of the greatest catches in the history of the game, we'd all have to get together and be like, okay, is anything worth $500,000 for one catch? I mean, I might just rather them run the football and then punt and, you know, get over it that night. But
absolutely.
It's like, yeah, so to have that, yeah, that's ridiculous to even think. And it's even more absurd in baseball with like the Chris Davis stat when he, not the pick six guy, kick six guy, everybody around here is like, don't bring that name up in here. But Chris Davis, when he went, 0-54, he when he got sent to the minors, mm-hmm. he was getting paid, I think it was like $14 million a hit because he had like two, he was like
right.
2-40. But, you know, in this case, Barry, I want to ask you one more question here, just based on what you, overall, for the assessment, who do you think is the team that is the biggest surprise this year and the team that has started, and because there's a lot of rookie quarterbacks, a team that started and is just getting better and better, because I might be hinting at a team you're playing this week. I'm just saying.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. The Patriots are playing good. Of course, they got the same record as the Browns, but I think the biggest surprise to me in the AFC would have to be the Miami Dolphins. They ended up 10-6 last year. They were on the cusp of getting that. You know, last year the NFL allowed 7 playoff teams instead of 6, and they were on the cusp of getting that 7th seed every week, every week, every week, and they did not. They missed it. They were the number 8 seed is what they were, so they missed it by one. But they're 2-7 this year. They are absolutely horrible. They've only scored 155 points on offense. And they're just not getting it done. Now, as far as the surprise team of the AFC, I'd have to say the Los Angeles Chargers. They have been building their offense, and they've been building their defense, and they're getting it done. They beat the Chiefs. They beat the Raiders. They beat the Browns. And I just think that they're an up-and-coming team. Now, as far as the NFC, I'd have to say the one that has surprised me the most is the Dallas Cowboys. I would have not have thought coming out of that division that they'd be 6-2. Now they lost a heartbreaker to an average team last week, but I think that they can put a good, strong second half together. They can really do something. Now the team that I'm the most surprised about is the New Orleans Saints. I would have not assume that the Saints would be 5-3 and be 3 games out of first place behind Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. You just don't know what your team is going to do when you lose a valued part of your team, where there's offense and defense. And when Drew Brees announced his retirement, which I think was unexpectedly, I expected him to be here one more year, it has just completely changed the culture of that team.
Barry, great points, and I think this is the type of year in the NFL where we still assume with Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, there's a couple guys like that. But really, this is a marathon to get to the finish line, and there's nobody actually timing it. It's like one of those old PE tests. If you finish, you pass. You know, so whether the guy sprints or he, you know, is just getting across with the bloody legs after he fell on his knees, if he crosses, he just gets a pass. There's no actually answers. To me, this year is the epitome of that. If you get to the postseason, you got a shot. Because, I mean, you could make an argument, if you want, that the team that's playing some of the best football right now has a below 500 record in the Colts. Like, I wouldn't want to play the Colts right now. That's a roster loaded with talent, with Leonard and Buckner up front. Jonathan Taylor's got now Quentin Nelson back running behind him. Michael Pittman's looking like a star receiver. Carson Wentz has his ups and downs, but, I mean, the Colts are up on teams by 21 points. Even against Baltimore, they were up 23-3 at one point, then they started to take the foot off the pedal. And the same thing against the Titans, who are power ranked number two. They were up 14-0 to start that one, and they go into San Fran and win that game by 20. They're just it's the league right now where some teams started hot, some teams didn't get it rolling. But if you can just get there, especially in the AFC, it is going to be fun to watch this year because it's not the old who's Tom Brady going to play. More than likely, you got Russell Wilson or Drew Brees or Aaron Rodgers, and then that's the story. It's a completely different league now, and I think that's – I like it, and because the NFL is the one league, I think, where cyclical football is actually good because other leagues – SEC cares most about their football, and that's clear. The Pac-12, if they get a team, they're like, okay, basketball season, we got the Lakers. But in the NFL, every market, maybe outside Jacksonville, but every market pretty much lives and breathes about their team, and it's not about your size of your city or anything like that. So I think having – a cyclical NFL just makes it that much more entertaining.
Yeah, absolutely. And there are only two divisions in the NFL that every team in the division has a winning record. One is the AFC North, and the other is the AFC West. That shows you the strength of the AFC.
It is, and then there's Houston.
Yep.
Then there's Houston.
And then there's Houston right now, where everybody just get a note on their locker that says, go home for Christmas, spend time with your family, we're done here. But no, overall, hey, Barry, always appreciate it. I know you guys do an awesome job. You can look for Barry's articles, dogbynature.com, and check it out each and every week, breaking down the brownies and frownies for the games, and also that mid-seasons award where it really gets into the numbers with some great players on a team that's been very intriguing this year, from losing their top two running backs to now the Odell Beckham story and more. Thanks again for your time, Barry, and we'll do this again soon.
All right, happy to be on.
Thank you.
Have a good show.